Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from ericismybanker.com.
And I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba.
That's right. So, Reba, before we jump in, if somebody has questions for you, how can they reach you?
info@teamreba.com if they want to send it via email. And depending on what they're trying to contact us about, if they want to know some information about real estate, it will get, somebody on my team will see that.
Right.
They can also do it to reba@teamreba.com. If you want it confidential and you don't want it shared among my team, go ahead and use reba@teamreba.com. If you want to know about our classes, though, we do have a new landing page for that, and that's teamrebaclasses.com.
Teamrebaclasses.com.
Yes. And you, of course, can find me on all kinds of levels of social media. I'm on LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, individually, as well as our team page. I mean, we're all over. I'm everywhere.
Well, that's right. Well, me too. Not quite to the level that you are, but I'm out there too. If you have financing questions, and every financing situation is a story problem. I love solving story problems. So
yes. You reach out. You were that nerd in math.
I was. I know. My eyes light up when I see a big, ugly tax return. And
they do.
Bring
actually.
It on. Yeah. We just try solve these things, figure these things out. But you can always reach me at ericismybanker.com, or you can email me eric@ericismybanker.com. You can call me, pick up the phone. I'm at 206-915-ERIC, E-R-I-C.
Okay. Yes.
So there we go.
Yeah, my phone is found online pretty easily, but it is 206-910-3429. You can text or call me.
About these classes.
Yes. So we've got lots of classes coming up. And of course, as we've talked about on the show, we're starting to move them around a little bit in terms of both location and time.
That's right.
Because we know that lots of people have alternative schedules. So we have March 23rd is coming up soon. And that is one that is a Saturday down in Tacoma at a home. Can we call you guys Homebridge yet?
No, Home Street.
It's still Home Street. Home Street Bank in Tacoma.
Yeah.
Again, go to teamrebaclasses.com where you can sign up and we'll get you the information and confirmation. And then we've got the 28th where you and I are teaching together.
That's right. That's a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be at the Renton Chamber of Commerce downtown at the old train station.
Yes.
Downtown Renton.
Yes. On 4th Street.
That'll run in the evening, 4 to 9 p.m.
Correct. Yes. That one. Yes. And that will have some interesting snacks and beverages available for everybody.
Absolutely.
Yes. And then after that, we have April 17th, which is going to be a Wednesday. And I believe we've chosen Burien for that location?
Actually, Tukwila. That's
going to
be at the Claim Jumper.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Down in South Center. That'll also be an evening class, 4 to 9 p.m.
Yeah, and if you order food, you'll be able to eat for a week.
Well, I will be ordering food. Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, we always feed our students.
Well, we feed their brains and we feed their bellies.
That's right. Yeah. So that'll be no exception. That one, we'll see how that goes. Maybe we'll make it into a big happy hour or something.
I think that would be amazing. Yeah. Yes.
It might be kind of fun.
I think it would be a very good thing to
do. I know.
Do.
I'll have fun.
Yeah, speaking of happy hours, we are going to be soon planning our next Team Reba happy hours. I was just talking with my marketing guy this week. Russ Woods and I are trying to do more localized happy hours with clients and people who are interested in getting to know us to work with us. So we did one up on Capitol Hill just a month or so ago that was really well attended and a lot of fun. And we're looking at either Renton, Burien, Tukwila, somewhere in that location.
Excellent.
Kind of thing. But before we get too far along on anything else, I want to also send out a big thank you. Most people who listen to our show know that I'm on the Foundation Scholarship Board for Renton Technical College.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a little mini fundraiser myself for the college last Saturday. And I want to thank very heavily Bill Raniger and Duke Moskrip of Duke's Seafood and Chowder because they donated time, effort, planning, food, and beverages for this event. I had a group of a dozen people, and it was used to become a fundraiser for the culinary program at Renton Technical College. And it was just an amazing event. And he had his wife, Lisa, who was there, and one of the staffers, one of their other executive chefs, regional chefs, who was part of that. and it was just an outstanding event. So I want to thank them publicly for that, you know, good work that they do, because he's also very involved in Fair Start. And it was really great because he came to the culinary event that we have in November as part of our celebrity chef when we had Tom Douglas this last year. So just love people getting involved, engaged. And the reason I partly bring that up too is that that culinary program helps get good jobs for people who are going to the school, as well are all the programs that we have at the college. And part of what our guest, Randy Banneker, is here to talk about is, you know, land use and rezoning. But the reason why we need it is because of the jobs that are coming here.
It's all like about the jobs.
Yeah. We do, you know, trade schools for, you know, job ready placement and good paying jobs, actually, for that. A lot of people always think about the tech sector and Boeing here, but it's all of these jobs and all of the changes going on in the cities locally and density that's causing that to happen. So I kind of want to use that to morph right on into this conversation with Randy.
Absolutely.
Banneker.
Really happy to have you here today. So Randy Banneker of Banneker and Associates, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah. Here again.
So yeah. Tell us a little bit about Banneker and Associates. Tell us what you do.
Sure. So I think the best way to explain it is I work with companies and organizations that are trying to do something with government or have government not do something to them. And I focus on cities and regional governments. And candidly, during the past several years, it's been a lot of defense. It's been tough to be a business and work through a lot of the regulatory headwinds that have come your way.
Sure.
We've never discussed that ever on this show.
Every week, yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
But I do a lot of land use, and that is a very challenging topic in our region, and I think will continue to be for some time.
Well, housing and housing affordability is something that I don't know of a single politician out there that isn't talking about it. But do their words always match their actions?
Here's the tough part.
That's a subtle question.
We all want affordable housing. Mm-hmm. Or housing affordable housing is a bit of a term in that it for a lot of people it implies subsidized housing. Mm-hmm.
And I never think of it like that.
You don't?
No, I get it though. Totally get it. I mean, a lot of people suddenly think like, oh, Section 8, or
rent control, like that.
Yeah, I totally get it. Mm-hmm. I just always think affordable housing of like having a pool of housing that works for what everyone's income strata is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, our goal ought to be, our public policy goal as a region ought to be, let's make sure there is housing available to people throughout the income range. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And let's have policy that gets people on a home ownership track as soon as possible so they can build equity. It's like the work you guys are doing with the new buyer education.
Well, and we need that. And in fact, last week we were talking about the national percentage of homeowners is at a very high point now, over 63%. But on the West Coast, it's not. We're still hovering around the 60% mark, and it needs to go higher. But affordability is the key issue there.
I've heard one person talk about home ownership is the ultimate form of rent control because you are now in command.
True.
Of what you're going to pay for housing.
Right. Yeah.
And that's a good thing to think about. I think that's a good way to
look at it. No, I like that concept. Actually, we should probably start using it in our class. I kind of like it a little bit. Yeah. You know?
You want rent control? Buy a house.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sure. Okay. So I'm going to throw something from way out of left field, only because it's been on my mind a whole lot. Because when we talk about rent control, and we're thinking of, you know, what City of Seattle's trying to do and some other places. I have a concern from a new direction on control over rent, which is there are outside forces starting to buy up a lot of single family homes in the United States that I worry about where the home ownership rate can eventually go. Because many of these people that are institutional investors are starting to snap up property and they can buy and hold forever. Mm-hmm. And then that is going to really impact, I think, the housing stock itself. And who can, I mean, the haves and have-nots is going to get even more divided when we have these ultra mega individuals and organizations who begin to start snapping up. Because I look at it from this way, Eric, like we saw when the city of, and this is where city of Seattle needs to pay attention with their council members and who they're pissing off. Because we went years when rents were pretty good that small landlords could hold onto their properties and provide affordable housing. And as soon as all of those ridiculous rules came in, the first thing that started selling, we had the big institutional investors swapping, but they're always swapping. But these small landlords have been selling their places in droves right now.
Yeah, they just are sick, fed up with the bureaucracy.
And some of the people who will be buying some of those are not going to be individuals. They're going to be investment groups and whatnot, and they're going to hang on to those suckers. And it's, I personally think it's going to create a big backlash later.
Well, and this is why I'm really glad that you're in here today too, Randy, because there's two things that really impact this. So land use is the one, and we were talking a little bit during the break. So how do the land use laws now relate to accessory dwelling units, for instance, ways that we can increase density, you know, in our neighborhoods, but also help out, let's say I'm a first-time home buyer.
Right.
I want to buy a home. I'm struggling to get what I want. That house had an ADU in the back. I can collect rent from that ADU, and that's going to help me buy that house.
Right. So, yeah, what an awesome tool. And most communities in our region are working through allowances for accessory dwelling units. So these are, you hear accessory dwelling units, you hear ADUs, you hear DADUs, which are detached ADUs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're also commonly called mother-in-law units.
Right.
So they can be internal to the house or external to the house. But Eric, like you said, if you purchase a house that has an income stream and an ADU, that can help you qualify for the purchase of that house. So that's good news for new buyers. For existing buyers, I think it offers an option of stability. You may be an empty nester.
Mm-hmm.
You could build a backyard cottage, move into the smaller unit, and then rent the larger, the main.
Well, hold that thought. We got lots more questions on that.
Lots and more to cover on all of that.
We're just going to pay a couple quick bills here, and then we're going to be right back with Randy Braniker. Stay tuned. More Open House with Team Reba. We'll be right back.
If we only had an ADU.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590. The Answer.